I think everyone's on their seat hear how that the whole toilet paper crisis is not because of all because of hoarding.
It's a conspiracy theory, isn't it? Everything's a conspiracy theory right now.
It's not a conspiracy theory. There's actually somewhat right documented information about it. So my wife sent, are you recording this, Ricky?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's recording.
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Zoom's recording. Okay, so my wife sent me an article and I read it. And the guy's argument is, so the problem is that don't go to the bathroom at their house. So you have like businesses, restaurants, other places where you would also use toilet paper. So now that people are going to be spending more time at home, they, I think they 10% or something like that of the times you use the bathroom is not at home. You now need to have that much more toilet paper to get through it, just to have a normal amount. And this caused a great, well, that depleted the stockpiles.
Great toilet paper famine.
But the problem is that toilet paper makers have different machines for the different types of toilet papers, because the toilet paper you use at home is not the same toilet paper you use at work.
Yeah.
And it's cheap. And they can't convert those machines to make this other toilet paper. And so what has really happened is that all the like household toilet paper that you would buy was depleted, and yet they have stockpiles of toilet paper businesses normally would buy.
Oh man, the stuff we're using right now is the government paper one ply to public school horribleness that like disintegrates when you rip it off the roll, you know, like
exactly.
You ever try to use that as a Kleenex, because Kleenex is kind of depleted right now? It's impossible. Yeah. It's like just sneezing into thin air. You might as well just sneeze into your hand. Like it absolutely makes no difference. This is so stupid. I hate it.
So yeah. So there is a logical, that doesn't mean people haven't hoarded.
Yeah. Oh,
but that there's actually some evidence to show that because of the pandemic and just people being home, they're going to be using more toilet paper.
I understand the paper supply stuff. Yeah. I mean, I figured, you know, I mean, even the CDC was like, hey, go buy what you need for like a month or something. I mean, so you think that would include that, but you know what I mean? There was newscasts of people like coming out with like pallets of this stuff, you know? And
You got those people too. And the people got caught in Tennessee where they bought all the hand sanitizer in like a 3-state radius.
Yes.
Whatever is selling it on Amazon and making bank.
No, they weren't. They're not anymore. There was some. I want to say they arrested some guy or something. Or no, they didn't arrest him. They took it from him, I think. Which
I thought they arrested them.
Something or like that or whatever.
They arrested him for price gouging.
Yeah. Which is that against the law in every state, or is it just like there? Hey, do you know? The price gouging, because I mean,
I know.
I mean, it's scumbag as I think that is to do. I mean, he bought it, and if people want to pay him the money for it, I'm not really gonna say I think I'm gonna go take him to jail or whatever. I mean, and it's not. I guess maybe because it's hand sanitizer, and they're saying it's a health issue.
I think there's an intent to.
Okay.
Buy. I think there has to be some sort of intent. I know.
Is it because it's hand sanitizer, because it's like a medical thing? Because I can't imagine if you went and bought like all the peanut butter in a 3-state radius that they're going to like come to your door and be like, you can't sell this for $19 a bin. You know,
have you guys ever seen those extreme couponers? Where they like get
the
paid for shopping.
The kid walks in like a binder this big and like walks out with like $300. Wow. Like, how did you do that?
Yeah. Okay. So, they have, you know, it works, man. I know people that do it. It works. Yeah. And they actually get paid for buying stuff. They buy things and they get money back. It's like, whoa. But then they can turn around and they sell some of these things because they've got an abundance of shampoo, or because obviously you have to do certain things to coupon to get certain things. And so you get an excess amount. And then a garage sale or whatever throughout the year, you just kind of get rid of some of that stuff. And it's like, imagine extreme couponers that have been stockpiling that hand
that's
sanitizer,
right,
man.
That's bank right there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the ones that are doing it with the I saw articles on this on the Nintendo Switch.
No, I haven't seen that.
You can't find one right now. Like that you can't. They're nowhere. The only place you can find them is on eBay, and it's like double or triple the price, and people are paying it. And what they did is some guy went and he designed a bot program, and it goes out to all of the places that you would buy like a Nintendo Switch for online. And as soon as it's back in stock, it lets you know, and then it can like mass buy it. So they're buying them like as soon as it comes in, it sells out like in 2 minutes because they buy all of it. And then they put it right on eBay and sell it for like two or three times. It's funny because some of these articles are just kind of like, oh, this is interesting. They wrote this program. And then other articles are acting like this guy is buying up like all of the medication, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's so unfair. So all these people are stuck in their houses. What else are they going to do except play Nintendo Switch? And I'm like, I don't know. They could talk to each other. But
that's a foreign thing.
Learn a useful trade. I don't know. Go out and plant a garden. You know, like go enjoy the air. I don't do something. You don't have to play Nintendo Switch.
Well, it's amazing that how much things are gone from the store. Certain things that you wouldn't think would be gone, right? Now, I can get this and I can see it, but I wasn't thinking about it. Because the parks are closed and you're not supposed to be going and playing on the playground equipment or whatever at parks, you can still go to parks and walk. They just have them taped off and say, you can't play on the thing.
Right.
I thought, hey, let's go and get our daughter a swing set. She's been wanting to go to the park and go on slides and stuff like that. Wow. And so we went out to Menards and, the wooden ones, like we wasn't trying to spend $1,000 on a playset, right? So the really expensive ones, we were like, okay, we're not looking at that, you know. So we're looking for these just old, like they're not old, but to me the old fashioned just like metal play, you know, swing set thing, that the cheaper ones, they were all sold out. And like, so we went to the counter and he's like, oh, no problem, we can go ahead and put you in the system, and as soon as it comes in, you'll get it. Well, they're making them so much, he couldn't do it. He said they won't let me put anything on request because they were like, there's not enough being, you know, produced right now to get it out there. Wow. So we got one, but we had to go to a store that's way out kind of in the boonies that had to order it, and I was able to pick it up today. But just thinking like a swing set, you know, just not being available. Again, those things, a lot of times we just take certain things for granted.
All the chicken soup is gone.
Chicken soup?
Yeah, it's all gone. That's the last time I went. Although they had loaded baked potato soup in like bundles, which I was like, if I had to pick between the two of those, I'm buying the loaded baked potato soup.
Yeah, I had to try to buy a webcam for my work so we could do some live streams.
Gone.
Dude,
yeah.
Gone. I try to pick up just like a case for my phone to put on a tripod, a better one, some lights. Dude, it's just can't even get it.
Yep.
Amazon's taking
like
a week
ever
just to get it.
Oh, that's
which
not bad.
For my job has been very beneficial because we're still shipping and we're just, I mean, we both put on a coffee grinder onto Amazon, and from a Friday to a Wednesday, I think we stopped. We sold nearly 100 in those days.
Wow.
At $139 a piece.
Man. Yeah.
And I mean, we're just.
Well, it's like the Nintendo Switch thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, I, you know, we go back and forth between the Purell thing or whatever. I mean, Purell, I probably understand why they're more mad about it, but like the Switch thing, like, and you know what? If they're putting Nintendo Switches out on eBay and people are paying them $900 for a Nintendo Switch, good for them. You know, like, make your money, man. If somebody's willing to pay you for it. Yeah, because I'm not going to pay that for it. You know, I'm probably never going to pay $200 for it, but I'm just not going to buy one. But like, you know, if I wanted one, I'm not going to pay $900 for it. It's not worth $900. But if it's worth it to somebody else who, I guess, apparently has disposable income, then go buy what you want.
Disposable for sure.
I just tell my boys.
All those stimulus checks coming in.
Right?
Coming in and right out the door for a Switch.
for Switch.
I just tell my kids, man, like, we have the Super Nintendo downstairs in the basement. Go pull it out, plug it in. You know, it worked for me. It'll work for you.
There you go.
Oh, here's the NES. That's how you blow the cartridge out.
It doesn't work, but it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
It's the magic. You have to do it a certain way. And come to find out in 20 years, your breath has corroded all of the internals and you're going to have to get some steel wool and scrape it off and make it do it again. They got to blow that off. Yeah, no, I built a little emulator box thing, and I had I put the games on it that I had when I was a kid. And I think Zelda or something, my daughter and I were playing. Actually, it was before this. We haven't played it since the break or whatever. But yeah, she doesn't know any different. She doesn't know any of the new games. So she's like, this is the best thing ever. Look how cool it looks. I'm like, yeah. And it's free. Like, yeah. It's not like a $900 Nintendo Switch.
Is it like the original Zelda where you have to like go up and like then the screen changes?
We played that. And then what was the other one? We played one other one. It was a little more of the modern one. I want to say it might have been one of the Game Boy Advance ones that was actually in color or something. I might like Minish Cap or something, but it's still, you know, pixelated and whatever. And I mean, but you know what, man, I'm not much of a gamer anymore. I don't really play much. Maybe I play some on my phone once in a while because I just don't have the time. But like, maybe it makes me old, but I like the old games a whole lot better than the new stuff. I just feel like it had more character. There's more story to it. Even the side scrollers, man. I mean, you know, Zelda and some of that stuff. It's just kind of cool, the little side quests and stuff that you do. But
see, I'm the oldest guy here, so I can go back to the Atari. No, you know, I had Pitfall, one. Yeah. Space Invaders, Pac-Man.
Yeah, that's the good stuff. I was unfortunate, so that's what I played.
I had a ColecoVision. Anybody have ColecoVision?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I had ColecoVision. I had an Atari. No one ever knows this one. So I had the original Sega Master System, the one that had two different ways to play. It had a cartridge in the top, and it had this little thing that looked like a credit card that you'd slide in the side. And the only two games I can remember on that, one was called Penguin Land, I think, and it was like this little penguin, and you had to push this egg around, and it was like ice things, and you had to peck the ice under the egg and get it down without breaking. And it was really hard. And then the other one was, this sounds funny in today's world, but it's called Transbot. not what you think. Hi, my name is Jeffrey, the Transbot. But I should do Polly the Transparent, that voice. You guys probably have no, Nathaniel's probably the only one here that even knows who Polly the Transparent is. You guys have no idea, do you? No. You're looking at me like I have no idea. We had a segment on gender or something, and so occasionally we do a funny, like, fake commercial or something in between that just kind of makes somebody laugh, and it's just a good segue into whatever interview we're going into. And we did this one. Do you remember in the – I think it was late 90s, Sarah McLachlan always had those commercials for the ASPCA with the dog, and she was singing In the Arms of the Angel in the background. It was like, this dog needs a home. And, you know, that whole one, you know, talk about, she's adopt a puppy or whatever. So we found the music for it, In the Arms of the Angel. And it was my wife narrating this whole thing as Sarah McLachlan. I think she said her name was Sarah McLachlan. And she was like, it sounds like she wants you to adopt a pet. But then when you finally get into it, she wants you to adopt a trans pet. So it's a guy who thinks he's a pet. And it's a guy who thinks he's a parrot. And he thinks he's probably the, and it really what it is just me doing this terrible, like, angry New Jersey accent of this guy in the background that interrupts her every time. And you just hear him go like, hey, lady, hey, where's my steak? And he just kind of does that. And at the end of it, he finally says something about needing his papers changed, but it was just making fun of it all. But we have, apparently it's become rather popular with people. So people were requesting to do this now. It's kind of weird. We just thought it was going to be a one-off and people are like, do more of the Polly Transparent. I'm like, this was never supposed to be an ongoing series. but anyway, Transbot, not Transparent. Transbot was like this little, I don't know, it was like a spaceship and you shot all these, it was almost like a side-scrolling Space Invaders thing. But when you shot it, they gave off something like a bubble. And if you got it, it made you transform into like one of 25 or something different forms or whatever, and you could shoot different things. That game was cool, and it was really, really hard. I never actually beat it. But that was Sega Master System, which is what came actually before Sega Genesis. But no one ever knows that system, but it was that was a cool game, man. I want to go play that.
Everyone doesn't know about Sega Dreamcast.
Well, yeah.
Afterwards. I had a Dreamcast. Oh, I never played it. I picked one up at a garage sale, and it didn't work. Found out later.
What was the big game for Dreamcast? Not like Mortal Kombat. It was some other like samurai thing or something, if I remember.
Tekken?
Right. But now Tekken was until PlayStation, I think, or at least when it became popular. Yeah, anybody remember Sega CD?
I remember it existing.
That bombed. But I do remember it had Sewer Shark, and it was like, really what they did is they took a bunch of video, like real life, like movie video stuff, and it was just would change depending on what you were doing, and you were supposed to be racing through the sewer or something. But that was the whole thing with Sega CDs. They wanted to do everything with video, and they spent an enormous amount of money on this thing, and everybody was like, eh, I don't really care. And then it just, it bombed. And I think Dreamcast was next.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
What about Sega Saturn? What was that all about?
Or maybe Saturn was after that. Maybe it was CD Saturn and...
You would think that Sega would have realized that all these games systems that they're putting out weren't really doing anything.
Well, that's what happened to them, is they went from just making games, because that's where they were known for at the beginning, and then they went Sega Master System, they went into Genesis, which was wildly popular, and then they had like, they had another Genesis too. Yeah, they had Game Gear. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I had that actually. That was like, that was the one
Saturn
I had
came out of Genesis. So it was Sega Genesis.
Saturn. Okay.
Saturn. And then
CD Dreamcast. Had to come in there somewhere. I think CD came before Dreamcast, because Dreamcast was, I think, the last one, and that kind of killed Sega. I mean, as far as a console maker, I think that killed them. I don't think they ever had anything past that. And I think that was, didn't that compete with...
CD was... connected with the Sega Genesis.
Really? I thought it was a zone system.
You can
plug it into together. It. Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what it seems like on Wikipedia.
All right. Yeah. I just had a friend. I had that, you know, you always had that one friend who has like every console every time it comes out. His name was Joey Vittorio. I still remember him. And Joey's grandparent, he lives with his grandparents. His grandparents bought him like everything. And I'd go over, and I remember he was like, hey, man, you want to play Sega CD? And the heck is that? And he's like, we can play Sewer Shark. And I'm like, okay. And we played it. And I'm like, that's kind of cool, you know? And then it was like, not even a year later, I'm like, you want to play Sega CD? He's like, no, man, it's so last year. And, and I'm like, dude, I'm still over here playing, you know, Sega Master System and my Atari in the basement over here, too. Like, yeah. Shut up, man. It's cool.
Yeah, we didn't really have the money to kind of keep buying the systems, you know. And so I think when we got the PlayStation 1, that was all right. But the PlayStation 2 was really good.
I never had a PlayStation, actually.
Yeah, that's well, true. PlayStation 2 was really good. But then the other ones were coming out, and I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to spend it. And I was not a Christian. I'm going to preface this. But I was serving in the military over in Korea. And you could take your PlayStation system in and have a guy put something in your system, and then you could buy all these games over there that you could play.
Yep.
And so I would get games real cheap and still have some of them to this day. The system doesn't work as great. Every once in a while it glitches, and I think that putting that thing in there kind of messed it up a little bit. It's just old. Yeah,
it's got
what's
coronavirus.
That?
It's got old school coronavirus is what it has. Everything's coronavirus.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
But... go ahead.
I bought a 360. That's kind of the only game console I've bought.
I had a 360.
We bought a Wii. It's my wife and I.
What is the 360? That's with Nintendo?
The
or?
Xbox 360.
Oh, Xbox. Yeah. Xbox.
We had Xbox and then 360 and then Xbox One.
Yep.
So.
I had a Wii. I think I bought that used, if I remember right, when I was in Chicago. Yeah. When I was in Chicago, I bought that used off like a coworker or something. And we had that for a while. That was cool for what it was. There were some pretty neat games on it. And then I had an original Xbox, but I got that used. That was a gift when I was in college. I think my parents got me that. Yeah, my parents got me that when I was in college, and that was used. And I want to say, I think the only one past that that I've ever had that was a modern console was a 360. I think I, long after that, got it. And I was never like the first adopter on almost anything. I was always like a couple of years behind for the simple fact of price. Because it was like, you know, the next Xbox is out. You just have to cut off your left arm and donate your first child, you know, and you're like, no, it's okay. I'll wait a few years.
That with phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's so
expensive.
I upgraded last year to an 8, yeah. And you know, you had the 10 and what, now the 11.
I buy mine outright, but I buy like phones almost nobody's ever heard of. But I because I work in tech, I'm always hearing about some weird foreign phone that's got really cool specs and it's not expensive. So like my last Android phone that I still have right now, when did I buy that? Oh, I think my other phone broke last year and I bought it last year, but I bought it for like $350. And I'll probably keep it until it absolutely dies. And I just, yeah, man. There was one time when I bought a real flagship phone, brand new. My wife and I, when we were early married in Chicago, we bought like the original, or no, not the original, the Samsung Note 2. That'll tell you how long ago that was. And that was like $700 or something. It was stupid expensive. And it lasted like, what, 3 years or something? I mean, it's just obscene how expensive they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's don't.
I've had my iPhone 6 for almost 6 years now. No. 5 and some change.
Did you get any money back from Apple for that whole thing where they programmed in to drain your or not drain your battery, but make it slower?
No. Well, how do I get this money?
You'll probably get like 15. It's like, I think it's split up. Basically, everybody gets like $14 or something. But they claimed it was in one of the iOS releases, and they claimed that it was to help your battery not drain so fast, but to keep your battery keep going on an older phone. So they basically made it to slow down your older phone slightly so that it didn't suck as much battery out of your phone. Is how they didn't really explain it like that. They just put like, you know, feature. And but then people started looking through the source code on it and kind of looking at it and were like, no, they actually programmed it to work slower. Be nice if they would have made that a like option, you know, instead of forced it. Like, hey, you can click this to like battery saver. It'll make it slower, but you'll save your battery and not battery saver, you know. But
which they already have.
Battery saver. Yeah, I mean every phone has a battery saver, but so. You think it could have been like just name it like old crap phone battery saver, like, you know, like for
battery extender
legacy. That's what everything in tech, you never want to hear
legacy
that.
Battery extender.
Oh man. Some of the places that I've had to go in and do work on, you know, I'll go like, you know, you guys are like way behind on this. And then I'll go to like, look for an upgrade and you'll go on like the website, the manufacturer, and it'll be like under legacy. And you're like, oh man, this is not going to be good. Yeah, especially when it's their security software. Yeah, I've encountered that this year. I'm like, what? I've never even heard of this, you know, and I've heard of a lot of security stuff. And like, I've never even heard of this. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's by some random company I've never heard of. And I go on the website and I'm like, I can't find it. And I'm like, oh, no. I like go in their little search thing and like search legacy. And sure enough, legacy software discontinued, no support. And it's like, you know, and it'll still be ahead of whatever version they have. They'll be like at version 5 and their latest legacy is like version 8. And you're like, oh man, like job security. I'll tell you.
There you go.
Windows XP.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. You got to give XP credit though. That hung in there a long time.
I still, the computer I sometimes use at church has XP on it.
What is it with churches and XP? I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess because it still works. So even though
we bought the computer off of Southern Seminary and just kind of used it.
Gotcha.
I have one too, but I've upgraded it to Windows 10. I did it. I bought on eBay for $50 Windows 7. And then right before, use the free
nice.
Use the free upgrade to go to 10.
Nice. Yes. There you go. Working the system, man.
You know, hey.
We just interviewed a guy from Southern Seminary. What was his name? Eric Kahn, I think. No, Eric Kahn.
Oh.
Yeah. He'd written a few articles. He wrote one called the Feminization of the American Pulpit, I think. And it was a really good one. It's just about talking about we just need bold pastors again and stuff too. But anyway, just made me think of that because we were talking about Southern Seminary. What does our church use, Nathaniel? I mean, that's an old looking laptop that's in the back.
Oh, I don't know. I've never been allowed to use it. Yeah. I don't know it.
I would bet it's probably like Windows 7 or something. That's pretty prevalent still. It's still hanging around.
Windows 8.1.
Oh, worse is Windows 8, just 8. At least 8.1 brought back the oh so lovable start button. Everyone just couldn't figure out to hit the Windows key or command key, whatever you want to call it.
You know what I struggle with is I've been so used to using PCs. And I had my laptop break, and it had everything that I would do all the editing on before. And so I wanted to get a new laptop, and everybody kept saying, Apple, 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 you want to go with the Apple. It's the best. It has programs on it already that you don't have to try to get these to, you know, Movie Maker and all these things. It's got it on there. GarageBand, all this stuff. Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I picked it up. I struggle with using it.
It's not free. It's not free. Everyone's like, it's free. And I'm like, you paid $1,600 for your laptop. It's not free. Like,
well, I didn't pay that much because I bought it used.
The same thing.
Yeah. Right. I bought it used, but everything seemed backwards. You know, you scroll down, like you go like this on your mouse down. Yeah. Well, you got to go. It's just all backwards. It's really confusing. That, Well, I didn't know. See, I'm not a tech guy, but I like everything that I've learned for the radio show and the stuff for the computers. I've had to like Google videos to try to figure out how do you do this? How do you do that? But yeah, it's just kind of backwards. We try to find as best deals that we can on some of the things that we purchase, you know what I mean? But when it comes to electronics and stuff like that, I'm not a tech guy.
The problem with electronics, especially on eBay, software is different. But it's like, you just can't get good prices.
Mm.
Like everyone used poor $400.
Yes. Right.
New $450. Like
it
what?
Was, it's been some phenomenon that's happened. Cause it was not that way. Old school eBay, right? Old school eBay was like, you went to a garage sale, you know, like it was like online garage sale and you could go find crazy good prices for whatever. Cause people just wanted to get rid of junk and they were happy to get any money for it. And then all of a sudden it kind of just became, I think probably it's because it became a living for some people. And then other people are like, I can do that too. I can sell this piece of junk that I found over in the corner that a rat crapped on, you know, for $400. Like, and you just can't find much good stuff anymore. And
auto parts.
Auto on eBay? Parts
still. Yeah.
Still? Oh. Okay.
I had to buy a trim panel for our SUV. Mm-hmm. And I got it for over 50% off. On eBay, nice. Brand new in the box.
That's good.
No, I had to pay like $80 to get it painted, but I mean, I still have to pay $80 to get it painted.
Right, regardless. Yeah.
I had these old wrestlers from when I was a kid. These little guys. They're about like this big or whatever. No, not that far back.
What was the other one's name? Do you remember? I don't know. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry, I can't remember the other one's name was.
But. Alisa knows how to do eBay. So she goes and looks up the guy's name and sees where they're selling for whatever. I sold one of those guys for like almost $200.
Nice.
Yeah. Just one of these little, so I started, I'm like, look up this guy, look up this guy. Right. Look, cause I got a box full of these things, you know, like how much are they
attic,
worth?
Like he's in his attic. I got this toothpick from 1987. It came from the first Denny's ever. Put it on eBay.
Yeah. I was like shocked. I was like, man, this guy's gotta be a collector. Cause one guy bought a bunch of them. And they weren't cheap prices. Yeah. Collectors. And
yeah, you find collectors and you'll get some good money on that stuff. But the Mac thing, we were talking about finding that. I'll probably never buy a new Mac Sometimes you can find refurb ones right from Apple that are pretty good. I'm not a Mac lover. I'm not a Mac hater. I mean, literally, the one right in front of me that I'm talking on here is an iMac, but I've got 5 screens. Yeah, a little overkill, but whatever. And I have an iMac, and then I also have a Windows 10 desktop over here, and then I have a VMware server down there because I'm a geek, and I have a bunch of other stuff in my house too. So I have just about every operating system you can imagine, including Unix and FreeBSD, which nobody even knows what I'm talking about. And maybe you do, but let's just say Mike might, but nobody else does. But the iMac was actually free, so it came from the Christian school that my dad works for. No, not the one that fired me for making an anti-feminist comment. But the one my dad works for, they were getting rid of a Mac lab. And this one had a bad internal drive. And this is one of those ones that is all in one. You can't even upgrade the RAM in it, nothing. To get into it, you have to use a heat gun and suction cups and have another person catch it when it falls down because like the ribbon cable between it's horrible. But the internal drive went bad, and so they didn't want it. And they're like, you just have it. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I stuck it on a shelf because people give me stuff. Because I work in tech. I think it's like I'm like a recycler or something. They're just, here, you want this? I'm like, sure, whatever. And like 80% of it I'll never do anything with. And after about 6 months, I'll just go take it to a recycler. But sometimes they do something with. Well, this one, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to pop this thing open because I just don't want to do that right now. It does not sound like a good time because I know that knowing me, I'm not going to pay attention. I'll probably crack the screen and then I'll be mad at myself. But you can boot it off an external drive. So I was like, well, I'll go out and get a cheap SSD drive and an enclosure and a 3.0 cable and see if I can boot it. Sure enough, got it to boot. It's fine. So it's just the internal drive. The only problem was, this is where I hate Apple. To upgrade it, it wanted a firmware patch. It will only check the internal drive for the firmware patch. Well, the internal drive doesn't work. And so it does not matter if you could patch the external drive. It doesn't care because it won't check it. So I had to go in and get the installer for the upgrade. And then I had to patch the installer to not check for the patch, if that makes sense. And then guess what? It works just fine without a patched internal drive. If you do that, which that's what makes me so angry at Apple, because if I didn't know what I know and I was just, you know, the normal person that would go out and buy a $2,700 iMac, I thought it's not a normal person. They would go back to Apple and be like, hey, this says I need a patch to whatever. I can't do it because my internal drive didn't work. And they're like, oh yeah, that'll probably be like, they probably charge you, I think it's like $800 for a motherboard. It's stupid. You go into the Genius Bar, because I've had to bring, where I used to work, I've had to bring Macs to them. Just even calling it the Genius Bar makes me cringe. It makes my skin crawl. Because I'll bring it in just because it's under warranty, you know? It's like the things that are under warranty, and you bring it up there, and I'll be like, hey, this needs, and I'll tell them the exact part that it needs. And they'll go, well, hey there, how you doing today? I'm your Mac genius. I'm going to run some diagnostic tests on that. What that means is I'm like, just shut up, man. Like I don't say that to him, but I'll be like, I'll slide a piece of paper across and it will already have 10 things I've done and checked. And I remember the first guy, he looks and goes, I don't actually know what number 8 is. What's number 8? And then I'll explain it to him and he'll go, you've worked on Macs before, haven't you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to work in tech for a living. And he'll go, you know, I still have to run diagnostics on it though. And I'm like, you do know that numbers 1 through 5 are everything you're going to do on that iPad you're going to hook it to. Yeah, I know, but we have to. I'm like, oh, fine, do whatever. You know, and then it'll turn out that he'll go, yep, you're right. It needs part such and such. It'll be like 20 minutes later because you're waiting in that whole, you know, what's it called? The Genius Bar, you know?
Yeah.
Makes me nuts. And then they'll be like, yo, if you didn't have Apple Care, that's $800 or something.
Hey so guys, expensive. I'm looking at Nathaniel here. He's falling asleep.
I'm so tired,
dude. You did this to me the last time. You got on with me and Darren Stid, also another Baptist. You guys will approve. And I think we're 15 minutes in, and I'm looking at Nathaniel, and he's like.
Yeah, I'm sitting here watching him like sit back in the chair, like he's like, "Come on, guys, let's wrap it up." So
gotta eat.
Yeah, he's
eat some food, man.
He's always the one that wants to leave all the time. Us old guys are just like, you know, kicking it and
yeah.
He's like, I'm tired.
These young people, man, they drink their energy drinks and they just can't keep up.
It crashes. Crash and burn at the end of the night. So, well, we will crash it here. We'll end this. I forget what are we even calling this.
After show
or something like that. Yeah. So
I didn't say anything incriminating, did I?
I mean, we can.
I'm incriminating.
He couldn't even say that. I'm incriminated.
I'm so tired, dude.
Nice.
All right, guys, man. I'll see y'all. Talk to you guys later, man.
Peace.
See ya.